First Timothy chapter 4, we want to continue our study in...
Yes, you can go too. That's all right. You want to do it too.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Yeah, you're welcome to stay too and everything. I don't want anybody on the spot here. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4, we want to continue our verse-by-verse study of 1 Timothy here. We work our way down to verse 13. Look at verse 13, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I guess I should put this up, right? Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, and it says this. He says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we have this morning here to gather together as a local family of believers and to look into your word. And we pray that as you, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, instructed Timothy to take heed and to meditate and to stir up, that we by faith would do the same things and thus allow your word to work in our hearts and our lives to save us from the temptations of this world, to save us from bad doctrine, to save us from the flesh. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. All right, as we continue our study here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, it's important that we remember the context of 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you'll look back at verse 1, let's just bring back to our frame of reference what's going on, Paul's concern here. Look back at 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." What's the setting of chapter number 4? What is it here? Anybody see it there? Yeah, so it's the warning by the Spirit of God regarding this departure from the faith. And as we mentioned, when we started chapter number 4, that departure occurred a long time ago. The departure from the faith occurred among the believers before Paul passed away. If you'll go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and look at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 verse 15, and it says this: "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia," and then it says, "be turned away from me." The great abandoning of the truth of God's word rightly divided, the great abandoning of the ministry of the Apostle Paul occurred historically before Paul died. They left the faith. That means a lot of things. One of the things it means relative to you and me today is that the dispensation of grace is going to be lived during the apostasy of the church. That means that the church as a whole is going to live in the apostasy. They're going to live having departed from the faith. So it means that even though the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth, the visible church, for the most part, really is going to be perpetuating the lie program. And we want to make sure that we're not a part of that. We want to make sure that we don't, either by intention, by design, by accident, by default, that we're not a part of those who are actually promoting the lie program. And so here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, what Paul is doing, Paul is equipping Timothy so that he himself can make sure and not be a part of the apostasy, and so that Timothy can equip those who will listen and sit under his ministry to not be a part of the apostasy. Look how the chapter ends. Verse 16. He says, verse 16 of chapter 4, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself." Well, save thyself from what? From the apostasy. That's exactly correct. "And them that hear thee. See, in this passage, in this context, what do we need to be saved from? The apostasy, departing from the faith. Now, how does departure from the faith actually occur? I remember years ago a guy saying, and I don't remember who it was. It was shortly after I got into the grace message. And he said something along these lines. He said, the road to apostasy, it doesn't matter how far down you are. It matters which direction you're facing. Think about that. The road to apostasy, it doesn't really matter how far down you are on that road. What matters is the direction of your progress. So if you're facing down the road to apostasy and you're only one step on that path or 50 steps on that path, either way, you're facing the wrong way. How does departure from the faith actually occur? Now, by the way, does anybody here want to depart from the faith? No, right? Okay, that we all know. You don't want to depart from the faith, right? But how does it actually occur? In our passage today, you're going to get some real good insight as to how departing from the faith occurs. We've already learned that what happens is, it back up at verse 1, they give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. They leave grace and go back to the law is what happens. But how does something like that actually happen? Jump ahead then, look to verse 13. And there are four things that the Apostle Paul says here, verse 13, really down to verse 16. From verse 13 to verse 16. He says at verse 13 this, he says, till I come, and then he says, give attendance. So that's the first one right there. Give attendance. And then he says, give attendance to some specific things. He says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now look at verse 14. Neglect not. See that? That's the next thing. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Look at the third one. Meditate. See that, if you're making a list there? He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. And then the fourth one, on verse 16 there, he says, take heed. Take heed. That should be a D right there. Okay? You see those four things there? Now, why would Paul tell Timothy these things? Why would he say, Timothy, here's what I want you to do. You need to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, doctrine. You need to neglect not the gift that is in thee. You need to meditate upon these things. You need to take heed. Why would Paul tell Timothy this? Because it could happen to him. Now think about the pattern here. He says, give attendance. And the first one here, he says, to what? Give attendance to what? Yeah, give attendance to reading. You suppose that's kind of critical? What do you think? Yes. Okay. When he says to give attendance to reading, it's interesting that sometimes you'll hear the commentaries, or you see the commentaries people say, well, give attendance to reading. Did Paul mean reading just books? You know, things like that. Or did he mean reading the Word of God? What do you think? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It is odd that people would say, well, give attendance, you know, go to the library and start with the A, you know, and read down to Z, all those books. I don't think so. I think he's talking about reading the Word of God here, okay? So look at the pattern here. He says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift. The gift is the ministry. It's the message. And we'll see in just a second why. Meditate upon these things. All the way through this chapter, he kept saying these things, these things, these things. The things of how God is dealing with the believer today in the dispensation of grace. Meditate upon those things and take heed. Now, what do you suppose would happen if we do just the opposite? What do you suppose would happen if we, instead of attending to reading, we just, over time, just read less? And when I say read, I'm talking about reading the Bible. We read less and less and less and less. Pretty soon, a week goes by, you haven't even opened your Bible. Pretty soon, 2 weeks go by, you haven't opened your Bible. Pretty soon, 6 weeks go by and you open the Bible once or twice. Pretty soon, 4 months goes by. And, you know, you get the Bible and what are you doing? Blowing the dust off. Yeah. At least your Bible look good. No dust on it, at least, right? So you picked it up just to blow the dust off it. So what happens? Think about the process here. We cut back on our reading. And then what happens? To neglect something is to do what? Yeah, you're not paying attention to it anymore. Either by default or on purpose. Right? So we don't really pay attention to it much anymore. So we've kind of lost a hunger for the Word of God. We're not really paying attention much more to the ministry. Oh, we do here and there. So we're not really thinking much about it. The meditation process. We're not meditating on the Word of God. We're thinking of other things. So then we're not really taking heed. So what happens in a situation like that? You depart from the faith is what happens. See what happens there? And you can see that what Paul is telling Timothy is Timothy, you gotta watch out. Look at how he starts this. This is real interesting. Look at verse 13 again. What are the first three words? Till I come. What's that mean? What's implied in that phrase? Till I come. Yeah, that Paul's going to come, but what? He's absent, and there's going to be some what? There's going to be some time. Look back to chapter 3. Look back to chapter 3 in verse 15. Chapter 3, verse 15 says this. Start at verse 14. He says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee," what? "Shortly, but if I tarry long." Now, when Paul says, think about what's going on here. "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long," and then in chapter 4, verse 13, "till I come." What's implied in all that? Okay, Paul's not there. Paul's hoping to come shortly, but he's not sure. And there might be an extended period of time. So, what's the possibility of happening here? Okay. And the possibility is that he would become idle. You see, what happens is this. Through lack of attention at reading, then we begin to not pay attention to the ministry and the message. We're not thinking through the doctrine in the details and applications of life. And you know what it leads to then? It leads to a lack of dependency on the Word of God and on Christ as my resource. And then when it leads to a lack of dependency on the Word of God and the dependency on Christ as my resource, now who am I depending on? Myself. I'm trying to function in the Christian life, and I'm doing it, but my tank is empty in a sense. But I'm trying to keep going. See that? Yeah, that's right. That's very true. You don't put the Word of God in there, you're going to put something else in there. You know that? And coupled together with those little phrases, Paul says, this I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, which he might, but he might not, and till I come, I need you to do this. Implied in that is, is the possibility of an extended period of time. And over time, what tends to happen? Yes. Over time, what tends to happen is we quit being diligent in the attendance at reading. And hence, we don't intend to, but by default, things get neglected. And then, we're no longer meditating upon the things of God's grace. We're no longer taking heed. Before we know it, you know where we're at? We're right departing from the faith. We have left grace to move back to the law. When you live under grace, who is our sufficiency?
Christ
is our sufficiency. Living under the law, who is our sufficiency? Self. See, you don't only depart from grace when you say things like, I no longer believe that Paul is my apostle. I no longer believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I no longer believe that we live in the dispensation of grace. That's not the only way you depart from grace. And that's not usually the way you depart from grace. It usually is a thing of departing from a dependency on Christ as my resource, and I move over to the position where I am now my resource. See that? And this is living under the law. This is departing from grace. It's living in the flesh is what it is. Okay? You see what's going on here? So Paul is not, you know, this almost sounds negative. It almost sounds like there's a cloud over the message today, right? It's like, oh, this stuff's depressing, discouraging. And I don't mean it to be that way. But obviously, that's what Paul says to Timothy. Timothy, there was a real danger that if Paul tarried long, if there was going to be a while before Paul could see him and so forth, that there was a real danger that Timothy, whether on purpose or by design or by default or whatever, he would no longer be in attendance at reading. And he would neglect the ministry. He wouldn't be meditating on it. And then he would quit watching out for his own spiritual well-being and that of those that he was responsible for. Now, there's a real interesting parallel here about this timing issue. Chapter 3, verse 14. I see your hand. It's just we got to get through all this, okay? Look at chapter 3 real quick at verse 14. Now the interesting parallel. He says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long. That was chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And then, of course, chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13, first phrase, till I come. Now, I know that that's Paul writing that to Timothy. I understand that. Right? Everybody got that, right? But is there someone else that kind of speaks about? Who? Our Savior. Now, again, I understand. It's Paul. That's Paul writing that. There's no doubt about that. Paul's talking about himself there. But there's a parallel. When the dispensation of grace started, as far as Paul could tell and discern and know, it was going to end at any moment. And he says so. He says things like, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. So what did he think what could possibly happen in his lifetime? The Lord would come shortly. But he was also prepared as though if the Lord tarried long. Because both are possibilities. Now, relative to you and me today where we live, compared time-wise to where Paul lives, it's been a while. Right? But could the Lord come today? You better believe He could. There are those in the grace message, and I struggle with this. I do. I think, how are they getting that? There are those in the grace message, and they say, they're kind of in the grace message, but they say, well, the Lord really couldn't come at any moment. They deny the doctrine of immanency, that Christ really couldn't come at any moment. Well, then, why do Paul's epistles teach us to live looking for that blessed hope? Because it is coming. We don't know when it's going to come. The Lord wrote these things hoping to come shortly. And again, I know that's Paul. I understand that. It's not like, you know, it's not like the Lord is up there, you know, begging the Father, "Father, please let me go back. Come on, they're not hanging on. I've got to go back and get them." And that's not what the Lord's doing up there. But there's a real sense in which these things are written. The Lord's anticipating coming back shortly. But if not, then there was going to be this time. We don't know how long, but because of the delay, because of the possibility of time, the saints could be tardy, be absent, and then neglect the ministry, and then meditate on other things, and then take heed. How in the world did the Ephesians fall away? How did the Colossians turn away? How did they do it? Because he didn't do this right here. Now, when he says, go back to verse 13 there, "Till I come, give attendance." Give attendance. And he says three things. And I'm going to focus primarily on the first one, the reading there. But first of all, what does attendance mean? Yeah, it's not just pay attention, but it is. It's those two together. It's pay attention, but pay attention in the sense of be there. We tell the kids, or the teachers tell the kids, you're supposed to attend school, you're supposed to attend your classes. If you're not there, if you're late, what do you call it? You call it tardy. If you're not there at all, you call it absent. When Paul says, give attendance, it's like Paul is the schoolmaster, the teacher, teaching the student. Timothy, even though we're almost done with this edification process, we've gone from Romans all the way to 1 Timothy. Timothy, even when you graduate, you still need to spend time in the Word of God. Now, it's kind of interesting. You know me, and I know you, and you like words. You like words, right? What word do you see in the word attendance? Attention. And dance. You don't see the word dance in there? Look at that word right there. Attention to the dance. Isn't that fascinating? He says, you know, make sure and be there. Don't just focus on it, but be present in the dance when you read. Now, for practical purposes, have you guys ever been, you know, you read inscription and everything, and then all of a sudden you say, you know, I just read three chapters and I have no clue what I just read. Yeah, everybody done that? You know, you've done that, right? You read and everything, and your mind wandered off here, and okay, you came back, and then your mind wandered off here, and you came back, and then the phone rang, and you know, so, what's that? Yeah, it does. Give attendance, attention to the dance. Be present when we read. Now, why do we need to give attendance to reading? Why do we need to spend time in the Word of God? Why? It's the Word of God. It's our spiritual food. How many of y'all ate breakfast this morning? How many of y'all ate more than once this morning? Okay? All right? How many of y'all, more than that? We all love to eat, right? We love food. How important is food to you? It's way up on the top of my list, okay, guys? All right? If food's there, I'm there, okay? It's way up here. You understand how important physical food is to you. The Word of God... Look over at 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2 here. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter number 2. The Word of God says about itself, it likens itself unto 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, now that, again, this isn't you, but you can see the principle here. As newborn babes desire the sincere, what? Milk of the Word. The Word of God likens itself unto the very milk that a newborn babe needs. Now, what is unique about the milk that a newborn, a brand newborn babe needs? What's it called? What's that? Colostrum is exactly correct. And it's more nutritious than the rest of the milk and so forth. Isn't that fascinating? Well, that's how vital, that's how important the Word of God. It likens itself unto that milk that a newborn babe receives from his mother when it's nursing. Isn't that fascinating? But also look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. And notice what it says over here. He says, verse 13... make it verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But what? But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, and so on. The word of God not only likens itself unto that milk for a newborn babe, but it also likens itself unto strong meat. Now, do you need both? Depends on your age. If you're a newborn babe, don't give that newborn babe, you know, a McDonald's hamburger. You probably shouldn't have that any age anyway, right? But, yeah, don't give them prime rib to that poor little baby there. You know, you have to be a proper age and so forth. Point being is this, one of the reasons that you want to give attendance to reading the Word of God is because the Word of God is nutrition for our soul. Look with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 here. Look over to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. This is, of course, Moses speaking to Israel. This is that new generation of Israelites after the 40 years they're fixing to go into the land. He says that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee. What does that mean, to humble thee and to prove thee? You know what it is? What's that? Yeah, exactly. To demonstrate to them that He was their sufficiency. They needed to come to understand that. You can wander through the desert and do it on your own, or you can wander through the desert and depend on Christ. Either way, you're going to get through. But one, you will find that Christ is your sufficiency. The other, you won't. He says, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee, watch this, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither didst thy fathers know. Now why did He do this? That He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, which part of a man, which part of you lives by physical bread? Your spirit, your soul, or your body? Your body. Which part of you lives by the Word of God? Your soul and your spirit. See that? It's no wonder that people, you know, an unsaved person doesn't even have the Holy Spirit of God in them. They don't even have the nutrition that they need. That verse says right there, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Where did the Word of God come from? Where did it come from? That verse tells you right there. Where did it come from? It came right from the very mouth of God. The very words. The very words on the page of the Bible. Where these were originally from is God spoke them. He breathed them. Now, go with me if you would over to Matthew chapter 4. Go over to Matthew chapter number 4. And then also you want to get Luke chapter 4, we may not need to, but let's just for time's sake, go over to Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. Um, Now look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Now I got to tell you, you know, I absolutely, without question, without hesitancy, could never have done this. Okay, and you'll see what I mean in just a second here. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted, see that says 40 days and 40 nights. I might could have gone maybe 40 minutes, you know, or 40 seconds. That verse says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. You ever thought about that? How many of y'all watched the TV show Man vs. Wild? You ever see that? It's kind of a neat show, isn't it? The guy's out there eating scorpions and snails and slugs and the little fat gooey things, you know, and he catches snakes and, you know, eats them and rabbits, all this kind of stuff, you know. He's trying to get, he caught a fish the other day, and of course he slices it open, breaks the backbone, there's liquid in the backbone, so he drinks that because he needed some. Y'all want to watch the show, right? This is weird, you know.
But
he has a whole team of photographers with him, exactly, you know. It's really kind of funny. But you know, anyway, but of course he keeps talking about, you know, you got to have water and you got to have food. And that's true. You got to have water, you got to have food. Jesus Christ went 40 days and 40 nights and afterward was hungry. How did he do it? What did he do? He lived off of the nutrition of the Word of God. That's what I'm telling you. The Word of God actually provides nutrition for your soul. And just like if we don't eat physically, then physically we're going to be lacking. And just like if you do eat physically, but it's bad food, then physically you're not going to gain a benefit. Well, so too spiritually. If we don't spend time in the Word of God, you understand what can happen to your inner man. How often do you get beat up, by the way, by the world? How about like all the time, you know? And you don't take the Word of God in on a regular basis. Or if what you take in isn't the nutrition of the Word of God, if it's mixed and blended and everything, not the Word of God divided or the wrong translations and things like that, you know what? We're just not going to have the spiritual nutrition we need for our inner man. He tells Timothy, give attendance to reading. Stay in the book. Now, how do you do that? Because it's one thing to stay. It's one thing to say, stay in the Word of God. It's one thing to encourage all of us to stay in the Word of God. But practically speaking, what happens? Life happens. A week goes by. And then another week goes by. Life happens. That's what happens. And we know we need to spend time on the Word of God. And we fully intend to spend time on the Word of God. But then another week went by. And we opened our Bible a couple of times in the week. So what do we do? What do we do? Because there's not going to be anybody, you know, a teacher saying, you were tardy or you were late, I'm going to send a note home with you to your mom and so forth, right? You're not going to get the principal to call you in his office and say, come in, hey, how come you're not attending school and everything? What do you have to do?
Make
yourself. Yes, by faith, living under grace, we need to make a conscious decision to make it a regular part of our life. We've talked before that if you want to read through the whole Bible in a year, you need to read how many chapters a day on average? Anybody know? You'll get through it twice if you do it that way. And that's okay. But if you want to read through the entire Bible in a year, you need to read 3 chapters a day on average. Some days you'll read more, some days you'll read less. Some days you're going to be in Psalms and there's only 3 verses to a particular Psalm. Another day you're going to be Psalms 119. You'll read the whole Psalm in one day. Okay? It just depends. But on average, you need to read, if you're going to read through the entire Bible, you need to read 3 chapters a day. Now, if you're not on that program already, what should you do? Get on it. It's pretty simple. And you can read through Paul's epistles really quite easily, I mean, you go Romans through Philemon, you can read through Paul's epistles easily in a week to 2 weeks, even just reading a few chapters a day. Isn't that fascinating? And so by faith, we want to do it. Not because the Ten Commandments tell us or else, but we want to do it because we want to go ahead and give attendance. Because we don't want to neglect. We do want to meditate. We don't want to abandon grace and live under the law. See that? Now, when he says here, go back with me if you would to 1 Timothy chapter number 4 there. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, he says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. What is exhortation? It is a part of preaching, yes, but what is exhortation specifically?
Encouragement.
It's like encouraging somebody. How do you encourage somebody? What do you do? There's different there's different ways you can encourage somebody to take action. What's that? Somebody said yell at them? Yeah, you can yell at them. Did somebody say yell? Okay. There you go. It's interesting. There's different ways to encourage or motivate people to action. One, whips work pretty good, right? Twigs, big, you know, those work pretty good, okay? But that's usually not, if you're under grace, that's generally not how you want to do it, right? That kind of thing. But what's that? Yeah, if they get too big, usually they, see what has to happen, dads, as your kids are getting bigger, you have to, when they're younger, you have to put an absolute mental picture in their mind that you can always whoop them. You just have to put the fear of God in, right? Because once they start getting bigger than you, you still got to be able to look them in the eyeball, even though you're looking up, and you got to be able to tell them, son, I can still, you know, beat you, you know, whatever. And say, yeah, dad, right, you know, and so forth. Well, you see, exhortation is an encouragement to take action, but not under the law. Under grace, you do it out of love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Word of God says. See, a friend will actually come alongside you and speak the truth to you because he wants to help you or she wants to help you, that kind of thing. So you're going to read, take the Word of God in, you're going to exhort. Who are you going to exhort first?
Yourself.
Yes. And then a brother or sister in Christ that maybe needs some exhortation. And it says, take heed to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You always want to go through and make sure you've got the doctrine clear. And then he says, look at the next phrase here. He says, verse 14. Look at verse 14. Neglect not. What does it mean to neglect something? You set it aside. Why do you set something aside? You don't think you need it. Why else? There's no... What value you thought it had, you don't believe it has it anymore. So you set it aside. Whatever we were seeking it for, we now feel like we can get that somewhere else. And hence it becomes displaced with something else. He tells Timothy here, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Now, question is often asked, what is this gift here? And how do you know? Well, look at the verse again. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So, if you don't know what the gift is, what do you know for sure it is not? Based upon what it says in the verse.
The Holy Spirit.
It's not the Holy Spirit. It's not what? It's not the gift of salvation. How do you know that from the verse?
It shouldn't be given by the...
Yeah, you don't get justified by somebody coming and laying hands on you. That's not how you get the gift of eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How does a person get that gift? How do you get it?
By faith.
By faith. It's a free gift. You get it just by believing. Not because somebody came along and laid their hands on you. Not because the presbyteries got together and decided to identify you. So you know, even if you don't know what this gift is, you know what it's not. It's not the gift of justification. Well, then what is the gift here? What's the other option here? It's the ministry is exactly correct. It's the ministry that he was given, Timothy was given from Paul. It's the ministry. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Let's do this real briefly. And, you know, I just noticed we're out of time this morning. How does that always happen? They say time flies when you're having fun, right? Anyway, notice this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, neglect not the gift. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 6, what does he say? He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou do what? So what happened? Yeah. When he says, stir up the gift, what's the picture? Any of y'all ever been camping? You like to camp and you have a fire. And it's nice to sit around the fire and you enjoy the heat and the light from the fire. And the kids always want to put more wood on the fire, right? Oh, Dad, can I put more in there and so forth? Yeah. And it burns and it blazes and it provides warmth and comfort. And you sit around the campfire, you can talk and relax. And then pretty soon it's time to turn in for the night. And so what happens to that fire as the night goes on? The embers, the flames begin to die down because the fuel is being consumed. And now you're just left with coals. And you've got a bed of coals. Deep down inside, it's still hot. But the flames have gone down. And you can see clearly what happened here with the ministry is Timothy began to neglect attention to reading, to exhortation, doctrine. He began to neglect the ministry. And the flames of the fire of the Word of God in his inner man died down. And he began to walk by sight. He began to function on self-dependency instead of depending on Christ. And it's no wonder he was so discouraged. He's ready to quit. Completely, he'd become ashamed even. The very thing that Paul told him in 1 Timothy, neglect not, is actually what happened. Was Paul a prophet, by the way? Well, not in that sense. But Paul understood. But Timothy, if you lose your interest in the Word of God and your dependency on the Word of God, Timothy, you're going to neglect the ministry. You're going to neglect to meditate. You're not going to take heed for yourself, and pretty soon you're going to be functioning on self-dependency, which is just living in the flesh again. We don't want to do that. So what do we want to do instead? Let's spend time in the Word of God. Let's, instead of neglecting it, let's stir up that truth in our heart. Let's meditate. That's a great word. We'll talk about it next time. And let's take heed. You can see all these things that Paul tells us here. He tells us so that great apostasy, leaving grace, going back to the law, that we will not become victims of that. Instead, will rest in the fact that Christ is our sufficiency. And how often do we need to rest there? Christ is our sufficiency?
Always.
How about always? Living life with Christ as our sufficiency. Living life in Christ is how we stay in grace. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your Word this morning. And to be reminded about some things that you and your Word keep telling us about renewing our mind, spending time in the Word, and allowing the Word to remind us that Christ is our life. He is our sufficiency. And as we face the details of life, we can sit back and relax and rest in Christ as our life, Christ as our joy, Christ as our hope, Christ is our peace. And we thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen.